Joey Claims, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to another Gangus and Ragman show interview, where the boys chew the fat with both veterans and newcomers in the industry. So without further ado, I'm gonna pour me a pint and kick back as I turn things over to tonight's guest. Take it away.
This is Titus Hill from Thunderstone, and you're listening to the Gangus and Ragman show. Horns up!
Guys, you're on live with Ragman, Mono y Mono, with one of his favorite bands, Thunderstone, Mr. Titus Hjelm. Welcome, Titus. How are you?
I'm good. It's evening here in London, England, and I've been doing a lot of interviews today, but yeah, I'm pushing.
It's probably a good thing you're the bass player. I guess if you're the vocalist, your voice is going to be shot after a day of doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, I don't know. On the other hand, I might be able to, have some more control of my voice. I think I've been shouting on Skype for the last 3 hours, so tomorrow I might have a hoarse throat.
Yeah. Nothing that a good beer wouldn't cure for you.
Oh, yeah, I had some in the fridge just for the night, yeah.
Oh, good. So do you live in London, or are you live in Finland?
Yeah, I live in London. The rest of the guys live in Finland. I'm a bit of a black sheep in that sense. My other main job is here in London, so that's why we have this bit of a distance between us.
Oh, okay. Can you share what your other job is? Is it music related, or is it something outside of the music industry?
It's something completely different. I teach it. I'm a professor at, I'm not called a professor here, but you would call me a professor in the U.S., but I teach at a university here in London.
Oh, man, that's awesome. I'm always curious because You know better than I. You know, the music industry, it's not what it used to be. And you guys got in at a time where a lot of the heyday type stuff was, you know, long gone, where guys were making a ton of money on records and so forth. So I always find it fascinating with guys that are still doing it and, you know, what their other profession is. I find that fascinating. I think it's awesome because, you know, here you're the professor at this college. You got the long hair and they're like, oh, he's just a very intellectual guy that does. they may have no idea you play this awesome heavy metal band called Thunderstone.
Well, it's sort of a it's not a secret, definitely. And actually, we've just played a gig here in London, and a lot of my it was probably the strangest audience we ever played to. I actually did this kind of, you know, quiz while on stage. I asked how many metal heads in the audience, and about sort of, you know, half of the audience shouted, and then I asked how many academics in the audience, and the other half responded, and we've certainly never had so many, you know, doctors in our audience. So that was certainly a slightly strange case, but yeah, it's good. And also, I've got several people who you know want to do a doctorate with me, a PhD with me on heavy metal music, because they know that not only I'm a sociologist, but also that I play in this metal band.
Oh wow, that sounds like a documentary in the making as well.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I know we don't have a lot of time here, and I got to tell you, I got really excited when I heard Posse had come back to the band when you guys kind of reconciled back in 2012. Can you kind of tell us, you know, what had happened? Because you guys took a hiatus for a while, and then, you know, in 2012, I guess Nino ran into Posse and started rekindling the flame, so to speak, of getting, you know, some music going. First off, you know, what caused the hiatus? And then secondly, you know, can you kind of tell me how everything kind of came back together?
Yeah, well, I mean, I always tell the story, which I think kind of, for me at least, culminates what happened with the hiatus, was that we're playing a gig in Moscow, Russia, a massive crowd, more than 2,000 people. We were playing with a local, very famous Russian band, and nothing wrong with the context. I mean, it was a, you know, really great evening and the crowd went wild and all that. But because of some personal disagreements, our then drummer didn't join us. So we had a replacement drummer. We had a new singer who'd been in the band for less than 2 years. And we also had a relatively new keyboard player. And at one point in the middle of a song, I looked at the other end of this big stage where Nino, our guitar player, was. And I was like, just rolling my eyes and shaking my head, that what the hell are we doing? I mean, you know, it just felt so strange. And we never really decided not to come back together. But, you know, after we got home from that trip, nobody just called each other for about 2 years or something like that. I obviously live here in the UK, so it was kind of, there was no natural way even of bumping into the rest of the guys. And we never called it quits as such, but there was just sort of some inexplicable kind of feeling that, you know, we don't want to go on. And then, Nino, as you said, Nino bumped into Posse, and we had this kind of sense that if we're going to do ever something again with Thunderstone, it should be with him. And actually, when we called Rick, Alsey, the singer on Dirt Metal, our previous album, he said exactly the same thing. You know, if you guys are planning to do anything again as Thunderstone, you should do it with Posse. And so it was completely, you know, we parted ways in complete understanding, and that was it. And then just, you know, things started clicking. We rented a summer cottage in the middle of Finland, and in the middle of nowhere, literally, and sat down with Posse even before we had the new drummer up there, and wrote a couple of songs. And then we did it again after we finalized the search for the new drummer, who ended up being Atte from Finland as well. And it just clicked very nicely. There was this whole, this new energy, this new hunger to, you know, do new stuff. So yeah, I think you can hear it on the album as well, and also, and definitely see it live. Yeah.
Oh yeah, the songs are very solid. Another question in regards to, you know, you guys, I guess, kind of started getting back together back in 2012. Did you guys start writing instantly, or did it take some time? Because it's been, I guess, since you guys reunited, it's been about 4 years until you got this new record done.
Yeah, I mean, we did kind of meet up and did this kind of summer cottage thing relatively soon after we you know, decided to, you know, get together with Posse again, just to see if, you know, there was this kind of, not only the fire to create new things, but also the ability to do so. So, I mean, you know, if it felt like we couldn't come up with a single, you know, decent song, then we could just say that, okay, we tried, but it's not going to work out. But actually, sort of, even without a proper drummer playing with a drum machine and sort of very rudimentary riffs and stuff, but when we heard Buzz's voice on top of it all, we just knew that we need to, you know, do this, and that was really good, and it turned out well. So it was a very slow process. You know, it took us about a half a year to just, you know, decide who the new drummer would be, and even when we actually started laying down the basic tracks for the album, it took us almost a year to finalize it, because, you know, Nino, who's the producer, he also produces other bands, and so this was a bit of a kind of, we did this at every, you know, thing between other projects. So yeah, it was slowly cooked, but I think it was worth it.
Oh yeah, for sure, man, for sure. And it's so good to have you guys back again. The name of the new record's Apocalypse Again, and I want to dive into it. The first track that really grabbed my ear was Fire and Ice. I really dig that song. It's kind of got that up-tempo, classic Thunderstone feel to it. Can you kind of tell me how that song came together for you guys?
Here in London, when Nino was visiting, and we just got together for drinks, and he bought his computer, which is obviously the beauty of technology is that you can just, you know, if you have a cable and a computer, you can basically write songs from beginning to finish, and we just sat down here in London, and then had the kind of the raw version of it, did it here, and then. It was finalized with the keyboard player Jukka in Helsinki before kind of properly laying down the tracks. And it was also the first song we finalized, so we put out a video of that even before we had, you know, finished the rest of the album. So yeah, I thought it was there's this you know, kind of vibe that I really think is kind of the Thunderstone thing, that there needs to be some sort of groove element to the song, that is kind of, if you want to find a trademark thing, and then of course the catchy chorus, that's always a part of our thing as well. So I think it you're right, it in many ways it kind of epitomizes what we've been doing throughout the years, and also where we are at the moment.
Awesome. And I was going to bring that up. There's another track, actually, the next one, Through the Pain. To me, my favorite type of Thunderstone type song is kind of a slow, grooving, melodic, powerful, kicking-in-the-face type track. Just real powerful type track. And I loved when Through the Pain started. I was like, okay, here it is, man.
Yeah.
Buckle up. That is a great song, man. I really dig that one as well. Do you have a cool story about how that one came together?
That was because, I mean, part of it has to do with that when you go to one of these summer culture things, you also, you do not only pack up your guitar and bass and drums and keyboards, but you also pack up about a million bottles of beer. And sometimes the story about the creation of some songs gets a bit lost during that drinking process. But I agree about that. And that's actually one of the reasons when we talk about sort of, you know, genres and labels, that we're not entirely comfortable with the label of being a power metal band, because I don't think a lot of the music that is considered power metal has that kind of slow, you know, punch in the face kind of feel that we're aiming at, which is much more sort of 80s classic heavy metal rather than the kind of ultra fast double bass drum stuff, which we also do. I'm not saying that, but I don't think we're power metal in many ways. So that's why we've been a bit uncomfortable with the term. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I agree. And I like the fast stuff, but I think when you guys slow it down and just get that kind of that groove, like you hit on a little bit ago with Fire and Ice, that really heavy groove, that slow, powerful, hits you in the face. That's the stuff that just gets the hair on the end of my arm standing up with the melody, of course. If you didn't have the melody, it wouldn't work.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the combination we've tried to sort of, you know, attain, is that you have the heavy riffs, you have that, you know, stomp kind of bass and bass drum combination, but on top of that, you have that melody which makes it memorable. I mean, Nino used to be, I used to be with him in this sort of thrash metal band before we did Thunderstone. So, you know, we know about riffs, and we can riff. But the point is that, you know, when you can start with a riff, what you always end up with some sort of catchy thing that you can sing along to. And actually, we're thinking of doing a video of Through the Pain, so that would be kind of our third or, I don't know, fourth single, whatever. I lost count at some point. But we're trying to kind of, after the summer is gone, we're trying to kind of rekindle interest in the record by putting out some sort of video for Through the Pain, because I think what you said, we've heard from quite a few other people as well, that they think that that song in many ways kind of represents best what we've been doing through the years. And I completely agree.
Killer tune, man. And I want to bring up the Path. Is that the latest single? I saw the video for that today, and that's a pretty... I really dug the video, and it gives you whiplash, but I know when you're sitting there doing it, it's just kind of a, you know, you guys are on stage and then you see the finished product, you're probably like, how the hell did all that shit go on when I was playing bass back here in this video when they were filming?
Yeah.
Is that the kind of the reaction you get when you see the finished product? Do they share much of that with you, or do you kind of do your thing and then you kind of see what comes out and then give your thumbs up or not?
That was a strange video. That was by far the strangest we've done so far, because we basically did it individually in front of a green screen, and it was all, yeah. So I mean, we're not even playing together. We're individually standing in front of a green screen and playing the song over and over again, and then the director just put it all together digitally. So I mean, this I had least idea what it's going to look like of all our videos we've done so far, because they all had some kind of, we've been playing it on a stage in a you know, blackened studio or whatever, but this was really strange, but it was, I thought it was really, I really liked it, not least because it was different from what we've done before. You know, some people complain about the digital effects, but I'm just sort of, I couldn't care less. I mean, I think it looks nice, and that's you know, when it, you know, does what it's supposed to do.
That is so interesting, because I've seen some videos similar in nature, and I wonder if they were filmed the same way. But it's so wild you guys weren't even in the same room. That's tripping me out right now.
yeah, I know. It did me too, yeah.
That is cool. That is real cool. Well, let me ask you this. As far as, have you guys thought of possibly trying to do a live DVD on this tour? Or is it you're going to wait and see how things go first before you would do something like that? Because I'm in Texas, I've never had the opportunity to see you, because I don't think y'all been over the States much, and the market in the States doesn't allow for a lot of that. But have y'all breached that subject as a band?
We haven't really. I mean, I think we've got some stuff from even back from, you know, 10 years ago we recorded live, and you know, maybe some of that, maybe we could do some sort of, I mean, you know, like you know, history of the band as well, and not just the contemporary stuff. But we've never really discussed kind of a live album. But that's actually I never thought about it. But that's actually a pretty good you know, reason to do it, because there are still so many places we've never been able visit ourselves. But yeah, obviously the best option would be to do a really, you know, long and you know, big tour. But as you know, the industry has changed so much that its touring has also become difficult and all that crap. So yeah, I'll keep that in mind and you know, pitch the idea to the rest of the band.
Oh, for sure, man. I would love to see it because it's, for me, as a fan of a lot of bands from Europe, if they don't make it over to the U.S., the next best thing is getting that live DVD. And fortunately, I got to see Blind Guardian last year. They came through the States on a little run. But before that, I mean, the only way you can see a band like that is through like a DVD performance. So, or YouTube. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff on YouTube, too. But I like having that DVD or a Blu-ray. But as far as touring goes, what are you guys looking at for touring?
Well, we've done sort of some stuff already, sort of a bit disparate, but good shows in Finland, Canada, UK, and we've got some summer festivals lined up in Finland mostly. But we're looking into touring Europe at least. In the autumn, nothing unfortunately that I can confirm at the moment. But and of course we're open to you know, all kinds of things, and we would definitely like to tour the States because we've actually only done one proper gig in the States, which was I think 10 years ago at the Prog Power festival, which was really good in Atlanta. But I think since we've never done it, we would have to come with, you know, some other folks that some other band that would also draw a crowd. So just to be sure that we're not playing to obviously we're massively popular, I'm sure, but you know, people might not remember us, or obviously there are lots of metalheads that have not even heard of us properly yet. So yeah, so that would be great, but it takes a little bit of thinking about how to do that, because the you know, logistics are in a country, you know, the size of the States, they are a bit tricky.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, and it's just I mean, even for domestic bands here, it's so hard for those guys to tour too. So, man, if you got an opportunity, man, I would be front and center. It'd be awesome to see you guys play live.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Titus, before we let you go, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans out there?
Well, just to say that I'm serious when I'm saying that we're trying to work on you know, getting as many gigs and a proper tour in the U.S. as possible, because it's been so great, you know, playing shows after this sort of more or less 5, 6, 7 years break, and you know, have these people come over and say that how much they've, you know, looked forward to a new album by us and you know, digging us playing live, and because we had no idea whether anyone would be interested in a new album by Thunderstone at the time when we were planning it. But the response has been really, really great, and we as a band are overwhelmed in a way, and truly appreciate the support. So thank you to everyone who's been listening to us throughout the years, and thank you most of all to people who have just discovered us. That's the exciting bits of it.
Well, we will definitely do our best here at the Right to Rock to spread the Thunderstone word, for sure, man. And Titus, we want to thank you for coming on the show. We want to tell all the fans to go get Thunderstone's Apocalypse Again, out now on AFM Records. Titus, it was awesome talking to you, sir. And we really appreciate you coming on the Genghis and Ragman show. And good luck with everything.
Cheers. Thank you.
evil of the world.
Listen to the Gangsta Ragman Show. We hope you check out our website at therighttorock.com, where you can find music and video reviews, along with occasional bits of other metal and beer-related info. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Our show's posted on a regular schedule, but we average a couple a month, so feel free to leave a review and tell your friends so we can spread the word. But above all, please check out the artists we play on the show, and support good music wherever you find it by buying from your favorite merchant. And that definitely includes the amazing Tracy G. We love you, brother, who writes all of our original theme music. You can find him online at TracyG.com, so check him out. Well, that's it, and there it is. I'm your announcer, Joey Clams, reminding you to drink good beer, support good music, and keep those horns up.